Bibles, if you would, over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. We're going to start there tonight. We've been dealing with the cults. Last week, Brother Dave shared on Mormonism, did a great job. Appreciate that. Tonight, I want to deal with some scriptures on the Trinity. One of the things that the cults pretty much universally do is deny the doctrine of the Trinity. And some people might think it's not important, but it actually is. It is. It's very important. The early church believed that if you denied the Trinity, you couldn't be saved. Some of the errors that they teach regarding the Trinity date back for centuries. Some of them are just resurfaced, modified errors that came up as early as 2nd and 3rd century A.D., just revised and updated for modern heretics. Generally, the errors that you hear, like Jehovah's Witnesses, is ancient Arianism just kind of revised and updated for modern heretics? The doctrines of the Mormons, you know, the Mormons are kind of hard to specifically pin down because they're polytheistic. They will tell you they believe what you believe. You say, well, we believe in one God. We believe in salvation only through Jesus Christ. That's what we believe, they'll tell you. But in fact, they really don't believe that. They can compartmentalize what they believe. They believe there's one God that has to do with our universe. But you see, they believe in a plurality of gods, all kinds of gods, all kinds of universes, all kinds of planets. And maybe one day, if you're a good Mormon, you can grow up to be God, too. So some of these doctrines are cleverly disguised in language that you would think is orthodox. For instance, the Seventh-day Adventist. If you heard their doctrinal statement, you would think, well, that's basically a Trinitarian doctrine, a doctrinal statement. But what they say, you hear one thing, but to them it means something else. So they believe in a unity in the Godhead. Now, we believe in one God, eternally existent, eternally exists in three manifestations, personalities. The old Athanasian Creed and other creeds use the word persons. One divine spirit, three eternal manifestations of the one God. Three eternal manifestations. Each word is important. Three eternal manifestations. That is, God is forever and eternally Father. He's eternally and forever the Son. He's eternally and forever the Holy Spirit. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but we only have one God. The Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father. We have one God. So the Trinity is not something you can make an analogy for. It's not something you can say, well, it's not like anything. It's not like anything we can imagine. It's not like anything we know. There are no adequate human analogies. And every attempt that I've ever heard to describe the Godhead falls terribly short. God's like an egg. There's a shell, there's the white, and there's the yellow. So it's one egg, three in one. There you have it. But actually what that is partialism. That's the same as saying, well, God's like a pie. You cut it in three pieces. One pie, three pieces. There you have the Trinity. No, because what you have there is partialism. You're saying that a part of this pie is Jesus, a part of it's the Father, a part of it's the Holy Spirit. You put them all together, you get God. the yellow, the white, the shell of the egg, you put them all together, you get God. No, that's not what God is like at all. God, all of God is in Christ. All of God is in the Father. All of God is in the Holy Spirit. And even though the Bible speaks about God acting like the Father creating the world, we actually know Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what did God do? He spoke and everything came into existence. We know from John 1 that it was Jesus Christ who created the world. We also know from Genesis 1 that it was the Holy Spirit who was the creator. So everything that God does, all of God does. In every act of God, all of God acts. I've heard some other analogies. Well, God is like how water can be ice, or it can be liquid, or it can be a gas. So there you have, you know, it's all H2O, but three different forms of H2O. Well, what you have there is actually not like God at all, because the same substance can't be completely all water, all ice, all gas. But God is always the Father, always the Son, always the Holy Spirit. The cults tell us that we only believe in the Trinity because Roman Catholicism told us to believe in the Trinity. The cults declare that Trinity doctrine was actually adopted from pagan mystical religions. It came from Babylon. It came from Phoenicia, who believed in a Trinity. Actually, Babylon and the ancient religions never believed in any Trinity of any kind. No religion believes in a Trinity except Christianity, not in the true biblical definition of a Trinity. Because I looked these things up. They didn't believe in a Trinity. What they believed in was a triad of gods. A triad is not a Trinity. A triad is you got three gods who agree to preside over all the rest of the gods. Because that's what the Babylonians believed. They were not Trinitarians. But the cults will try to impose their definition of what the Trinity is on you, thinking and say, look, y'all just adopted this from Catholicism. Actually, let me tell you where the Trinity doctrine came from. It came from the Bible. And then the number, perhaps one of the biggest arguments that they raise is, however, your word Trinity isn't even found in the Bible. Thus saith the Jehovah Witnesses, where the name Jehovah is not found in the Bible either. You know, even though you'll find it in, you know, many versions, we discussed that, we covered that before, that God's name is Yahweh. There's consonants, there's no vowels. Jehovah is not the Old Testament name of God, certainly not the New Testament name of God. And even though the Jehovah Witnesses inserted it 230-something times into the New Testament. So here they will tell you the word Trinity is not in the Bible, so it's an invalid term, therefore the whole concept is invalid. So then you say, well, what about Kingdom Hall? Is that in the Bible anyway? I was wondering about Kingdom Hall. Where do you find that in the script? What about anointed class? Where do you find that in the Bible? We'd like to know about things. What about God's organization? So if we're going to talk about terms not found in the Bible, I think you guys have the bigger problem than we do. But the doctrine of the Trinity, it's not that the word appears. It's the principle that appears. Because here's what we find. We find that God, throughout Scripture, is revealed to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, can I just give you a few verses? Let me just read a few to you. Since you're right here in Luke chapter 3, we'll start with verse 21. Luke 3:21. All the people were baptized. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Now, who do we have here? Jesus, right? Jesus is being baptized. And verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. So now you've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The word ghost, good old King James word, the Greek word pneuma, it's spirit. The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. So now you have the Father speaking of the Son and the Holy Spirit descending, and in thee I am well pleased. You know, there are many passages in the Bible that reveal that God is triune. Matthew 28, verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. John 14, verse 26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. John 14, 26. He'll teach you all things. That's what he said. John 15, 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father. There you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. John 15, 26. And I could give you numerous passages. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. Being assembled together with them, speaking of Jesus, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you've heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, the Pauline benediction. In 2 Corinthians 13, here's what he said. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. The Trinitarian benediction. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit be offered, who offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. To serve the living God. So you've got Hebrews 9:14, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Trinitarian, all appearing in a single verse. Jude 1, verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we see it repeatedly. These are just a few verses I gave if you wanted to write a few down. 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So, the Trinity appears throughout Scripture. Let me give you a couple of definitions that have stood the test of time. The Trinity is one God who exists in three co-equal, co-eternal, and distinct persons. Distinct persons. So here's what some will say. You got three persons, you got three people. You got three people, you got three gods. So you, unfortunately, we really don't have anything else to compare God to, the divine personalities in the Godhead, except persons. And so they've used the word persons for over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, to describe persons in the Godhead. But when you think of persons, don't think of, not like us. It's not like God is three separate people. God is one God. That's one of the fundamental truths of Scripture. There's one God. Right? One God. This we see throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. It's repeated everywhere. God is one. Yet at the same time, you don't have to read very far in the Bible till you see God saying, let us make man in our image. Let us. So you get a glimpse that there is plurality in the Godhead. And while the Trinity isn't clear, you see that there's more there than we immediately detect. There's more there. And then the more you read, the more you recognize there is a plurality in the Godhead. But you know, the revelation of the Trinity isn't perfectly revealed until you get to the New Testament. And then the lens focuses and you see it clearly in the Old Testament as well. But without the New Testament to focus the lens, it's not as clear. But there's one God. We know that for sure. There are three persons, we'll say persons for lack of a better word, in the Bible who have all the attributes of God. The Father has the attributes of God. The Son has the attributes of God. The Holy Spirit has the attributes of God. Yet we only have one God. Dave?
You're not forgetting to hand out your handout, are you?
Oh, I'm going to hand it out.
Okay.
I did forget.
I'm sure you didn't forget.
I did forget. Derek, would you pass those around? Make sure everybody gets one. I appreciate it. So you've got three personalities, all are called God, all are called Creator. All of them are eternal. So it's important that we recognize the Trinity is three co-eternal, co-equal persons within the one God. And then you see a distinction between the persons in the Godhead, because you don't want to think God the Father is the Son. He's not the Son, nor is the Son the Holy Spirit. So God eternally exists as three co-equal and co-eternal persons. And if you think that's confusing, well, it's just that we can't fully grasp. What we can do is simply believe. Here I can make it as simple as possible. God is who he reveals himself to be. And he reveals himself to be eternally the Father, eternally the Son, and eternally the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. He is who he reveals himself to be. Yes, sir. You want to get a mic?
Finally, we got it. I think I've explained this before, but one of the things some preacher I know used the example of water. And water exists in three forms, like God exists in... Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry, it was out there.
He gets excused. It's not that he wasn't listening. He was in the back.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's quite all right. Yeah. That's all right. No problem. You know, one of the arguments I read, I have the Lord Jehovah Witness book on Should You Believe in the Trinity? And every time I look through it, it makes you angry because of some of the things they will do. It's so distorted and so deceiving. So the Trinity is confusing. This is one of their arguments. The Trinity is confusing. And God's not the author of confusion. Therefore, God's not the author of the Trinity. I like that argument. Well, here's some of the problems with these arguments. God's not the author of confusion. It's important that you read the Bible in its context. And the context of that verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he's dealing with order in the church. Order in the church. It's saying God's not the author of confusion, of the order. The church is not supposed to be chaos. There's supposed to be an order in the church. That order is supposed to be recognized and followed. Not everybody's supposed to be prophesying and speaking in tongues all at the same time and, drowning everybody else out or whatever. So anyway, he's not talking about the doctrine of the Trinity in that particular passage, which, while I won't say it's confusing, I will say it's beyond our ability to make a human analogy. Go ahead, Dave. And the Bible say how unsearchable are his ways and his paths past finding out.
Here's something from science that's only two things rather than three things, and we don't understand it, but scientists accept that an electron is a wave and it's a particle. It's completely a wave, it's completely a particle, all at the same time. We don't have a third thing in there, but yet nobody has a problem accepting that it's both at the same time, and it's all the electron.
Yeah. We accept a lot of things that we don't understand. Gravity, electricity. Yes, ma'am. We knew you couldn't stay silent for long, sister.
Praise God. Pastor Tardo.
You were blessed.
Hey, I heard one time someone said that we were made in God's image. And their description of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is that we are body, spirit, and soul. That was the description that they gave for,
the Trinity.
Yeah.
I've heard that too. The problem you have with all these analogies is that they fall far, far short. Because while you say we are body, actually we are soul, we have a body, we have the spirit of life from the Lord. But those three things comprise us. It's three parts of us. God is not, again, he's not a pie, or he's not the three parts of an egg or the three parts of an apple. You got the skin, you got the meat, you got the core. It's the same analogy. It falls short. Creflo Dollar said that God is like me, he said, because I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a son. So it's like I have, three different hats, but I'm one person. So that's kind of how God is. He's got three different hats. Well, you know what that is? Modalism. That's modalism, which is an ancient heresy that goes all the way back to the 3rd century to a fellow called Sibelius. Sibelius introduced this doctrine that God is not a Trinity. He exists in three successive modes. That he was the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and now he's the Holy Spirit I forget what else he would call it. Holy Spirit in illumination. So God is not eternally the Father, eternally the Son, eternally the Holy Spirit, but these are all modes. So the same thing is true with Creflo Dollar's illustration. He's not eternally a father. He's not eternally a husband. He's not always, he wasn't always a husband. He wasn't always a father. Y'all following me?
Right.
Whereas God is always Father, always Son, always Holy Spirit. He didn't become a father. He didn't become a husband. So the arguments tend to break down. Like I said, Mormonism, Dave covered it pretty good. They believe that God has a physical flesh and bones body. Yeah, that's what they believe. One of the early Mormon presidents said that God is actually, our God is actually Adam, that he became God some kind of way. The Holy Spirit is an impersonal power, impersonal force. Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in a Godhead either. They believe that there's the great big God, Almighty God, and then a little small God, Jesus, that was created by the big God. And then there's the Holy Spirit is just God's active force, which they believe today is their organization, actually, because they're going to baptize you in the name of their organization. Christian Science does not believe in a trinity of any kind. They believe that the trinity is life, truth, and love. That's the trinity. Herbert W. Armstrong did not believe in a traditional trinity. He denied it. The Oneness Pentecostals deny a trinity. Y'all are familiar with Oneness Pentecostal. Anytime you see United Pentecostal Church, United Pentecostal, they believe in what's called oneness doctrine. God is not a trinity. They hate the doctrine of the trinity. Seventh-day Adventism doesn't believe in the trinity. What's that? Oneness Pentecostals, United Pentecostals, yeah, they don't believe in the trinity. They'll fight you on that. They believe Jesus is God now, but they believe Jesus is the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So their error is it heresy? Perhaps. Can they be saved? I believe they can, believing on Christ, but they also have some other problems. You know, they believe you got to be water baptized to be saved. And basically you got to be baptized by them. And you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't have a problem with that, but they believe if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are not saved. And pretty much they have to baptize you. But then there's a lot of weird groups that do stuff like that. The Church of Christ believes that if they don't baptize you, you're not saved. Yeah, Church of Christ, yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's. Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they started out believing that Jesus was created. The Seventh-day Adventists believed that he was Michael the Archangel. In fact, that's what Ellen G. White said. Through the years, they've modified their beliefs, and they keep changing them. They keep altering their statement of faith, becoming more and more almost evangelical to the point that today, I'm gonna read to you their official statement of faith. Listen to this. On the Trinity, there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity of three co-eternal persons, It almost sounds right. Almost. But the more you look, their unity amounts to tritheism. Three gods. So, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists are kind of all over the place. They went from God being the only God, God the Father, and Jesus was not God, to now they got three gods. They're a very confusing group. I'm not even sure that they know what they believe. But. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but I think you said there were some Seventh-day Adventists that pulled away from that. And that
yes,
was,
they have.
That some are saved, maybe, or born again.
They have several different Seventh-day Adventist mm-hmm. groups, and I'm going to talk about them more in the future.
Okay.
And break down some of their beliefs for us, because I want to deal with the Sabbath. In fact, there's a whole book out there on why we don't keep the Sabbath. I know the guy that wrote it. What's that? I'm sorry, what?
I said his name is Russell K. Tardos.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Where was I? I'm around here somewhere. T.D. Jakes. Now, look, this is a very powerful minister. He has been in trouble for a long time with Christian apologists because of his kind of offbeat belief in oneness theology. And he keeps inching a little bit more towards Trinitarianism But then he backs off and says some weird stuff again. He's one who says that God is like us. You know, he has, we have a body, soul, and spirit. You know, God's kind of like that. But, yeah, look, not everything he says is wrong, to be sure. But we do know that there's one God, right? One God, one God. The Bible, you have that sheet of paper I gave you? Okay, let's look at it. One God who exists from eternity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Although the term Trinity does not occur in Scripture, the concept is inherently biblical. The Trinitarian nature of God was revealed implicitly in the Old Testament and explicitly in the New. So there's two fundamental theological realities here. There's one true God, and the other is that that one true God has eternally existed as three distinct persons, each of whom is equally and fully God, and yet one God. Right? Scripture teaches there's one true God, and of course we've got quite a number of passages here that I wanted you to have them so that you can look at them, you know. Yeah, exactly. Research them. It's yourself. Because we could spend a whole lot of time going through each of these verses. But reality two is that Scripture also teaches that God has eternally existed as three distinct persons, each of whom is equally and fully God. The Father is God. We've got a number of verses here. The Son is God. We see that the Son is distinct from the Father. You've got, you know, the Father speaking, the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit distinct, descending upon him. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son. So then you've got a number of passages you'll notice that says that the Bible also refers to God in ways that emphasize all three members of the Godhead, the Trinity. I want to read something to you. This is, I read this once before, some time ago when I taught on the Trinity. I think it's important we refresh our minds and hearts on these. These are important biblical doctrines. And I've noticed today that the church is becoming less and less doctrinal, less and less theological. And basically they say, as long as you just believe in Jesus, you're okay. But you start talking about Jesus, you know, that's theology. What do you believe about Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's theology. So just don't tell me, I believe in Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? It's like people say, well, I believe in God. Well, the devil believes in God. The devil's a believer. He believes a lot. I mean, he trembles. He's smart enough. He's not even an atheist. He didn't even fall into that trap, you know, but, of atheism, but. It's important that we recognize God is triune. He's eternally triune. And that way, you develop a little bit more discernment when people say things that catch your attention. You know, there's a music group. I wish I knew I could remember their name, but they have three names. It's a Christian music group. It's something, something, and somebody. And they're very popular. Yeah. It's three guys. It's three guys, and they have...
Craig and Dean.
That's them. You know, they're oneness. They're oneness Pentecostals. Yes, and some of their songs reflect their oneness beliefs. And when you hear them, if you're not paying attention, you don't even catch it, that they're oneness Pentecostal. What's their name again? Yeah, that's them. And there are other groups that have some skewy theology that... That if you're not aware of what they're saying, you know, like some of the groups reflect the kind of ministry they come out of. And when they come out of a ministry that teaches dominionism, for instance, that we have to take the world, that it's up to us to be politically active or whatever kind of activity it takes, it's up to us to conquer the world for Christ in a political sense. It's reflected many times in their music, and you pick it up when you're aware of it. Anyway, let me read to you the Athanasian Creed. This is kind of a summary of of Christian doctrine. It's called the Athanasian Creed, believed to have been written by Athanasius around the 4th century A.D. Here's what he said. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance or the divine being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, the Holy Spirit is uncreated. Yet we have one uncreated God. The Father is infinite, the Son is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite, but we have one infinite God. Eternal is the Father, eternal is the Son, eternal is the Spirit, yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal. There are not three uncreated and unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited. Almighty is the Father, almighty is the Son, almighty is the Spirit, yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Thus, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet there are not three gods, but one God. Thus, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. It's right. It's absolutely right. As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so Christian religion forbids us to say there are three gods or lords. There are not three gods. There are not three lords. The Father was neither made nor created nor begotten. The Son was neither made nor created, but was alone begotten of the Father. The Spirit was neither made nor created, but is proceeding from the Father and the Son. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three. And in this Trinity, no one is before or after, greater or less than the other. But all three persons are in themselves co-eternal and co-equal. And so we must worship the Trinity in unity and the one God in three persons. Whoever wants to be saved should think this about the Trinity. They also go on and say, it is necessary for eternal salvation that one faithfully believe that our Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. Because it was only the Son who became flesh and dwelt among us. And yet all of God was in Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, ma'am. Let's get you a microphone, Miss Nancy, because there may be people in Indiana listening. Maybe. I don't know. They might be down here, so we don't know.
It just occurred to me how, in my heart, what you just said just destroys the idea that Jesus went to hell for 3 days and fought the devil. How could God go to hell? I mean, just common sense. What do you say, Rusty?
I say yes, you're correct. Absolutely. Go ahead, Bob. Let's pass the mic. Uh-oh. You see, when you're young, you still can.
Okay. All of the analogs for God break down. Like you're talking about the egg, the...
Yeah.
You know, they all break down. But I'll give you an analog that stands up. Because it's not an analog of God. It's an analog for us. We have to accept that we are like someone who is born blind. And we're trying to understand light. We can get the concept. You can describe, you know, wavelength and photons. And you can get all the theory that you want. But we are not, if you're born blind, you're not equipped to understand light. And that's where we are. I mean, we have to understand that God is bigger than we can understand.
Yes. If we could understand him, I wouldn't be God, would he?
Right.
So, you know, there are things we read in the Bible that we cannot to some people's satisfaction, we can't describe to some people's satisfaction. But are there things we have to take by faith? We just have to accept that God is who he reveals himself to be. And he reveals himself in the Bible to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one God. So don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. Yes, go ahead. You got the mic. Go ahead, Nancy. Yeah. Oh.
I totally agree with you, but it's so neat that we still, because we have the Holy Spirit, we, although we can't understand it all, don't you believe that we, a signal goes off in our heart when something's wrong, when people are believing, like the oneness of the United Pentecostal unit?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, sister.
I forgot what I wanted to say. Wait.
Okay.
I think I'll come back and okay. It's coming back. And you said about the, you know, in Psalms, David says, even if he goes, I think it's in Psalms, if I'm wrong, correct me, but he said, even if I'm in hell, you're going to be with me. You're not.
That's correct.
So when you feel, I mean, God said he'll never forsake you, never leave, but there are people who have said they've died, and this woman, she said that she died, and then God let her see where she was going, which was hell. And she said she came back, and she said the worst part of everything was she couldn't feel his presence. Yeah. And she couldn't, it was no way that she could feel his presence. But back, what I really wanted to say was about Jesus. There are many Jesuses that people are worshiping. Yeah. Many false Jesuses because they don't know the real Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, when somebody would tell me, I believe in Jesus, I was so vulnerable. I said, oh, praise God. You know, they say that they tell me those things. But then after you talk to them a while, you realize it's not the Jesus we know.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why it's important that we do go over sometimes. Studies like this remind ourselves that it's important to recognize that what we believe matters. It matters. It matters what we believe. And we want to believe what the Bible says. So if we're going to believe what the Bible says, we're going to believe that God is eternally triune. Now, these are important words, and I'm going to finish with this. Important words. I'm just going to repeat myself for a minute. God is who he reveals himself to be. He is who he reveals himself to be. We don't get the doctrine of the Trinity because some Nicene Creed. We don't get it because of an Athanasian Creed. We don't get it because of the Catholic Church. We don't get it because we borrowed it from paganism. But God is who he reveals himself to be in the Bible. And in the Bible, he reveals himself to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three are equally spoken of as God. All three are co-eternal, co-equal, and yet at the same time, we know we have only one God. So the fact that we can't perfectly explain it or perfectly grasp it it's simply because we don't have anything to compare God to. There's nothing to compare him to. I try to talk sometimes to my dog. I just sit him down and I try to talk to him. And reason with him. But, you know, I can just see a blank look in his eyes. His tail will wag, but, you know, just a blank look, you know.
You need to talk about quantum mechanics.
Quantum mechanics, yeah. If I knew what it was, I'd explain it to him. But yes, ma'am. Let's get a microphone to Miss Barbara.
All right. What about the scripture that says that sin, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? These cults are blaspheming the Holy Spirit because they're denying his existence.
Well, I think at one time, you know, ignorance has to come into play, because in my understanding, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is intentional, where a person knows what they're doing. And it's an intentional rejection. And I believe God can rescue people from the cults, and He does. He, just like He rescued us from our era, or whether you were Catholic, lost in Catholic, or lost in whatever kind of church or no church, He's a rescuer. Let's not write anybody off. But yeah. Yes, ma'am.
The other thing with that is God looks at the heart. He doesn't, you know, and when you said about the Holy Spirit, that's deliberate, and I believe that as well, that the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is something that you do deliberately. But, and I remember when I was searching for God, and I was studying with my sister in the Kingdom Hall, but for whatever reason, my spirit could not bear witness with what I was being taught. And the Lord protected me. Why He didn't to others, I don't know. But He looks at our heart. And I think if a person, even though they're involved in these other religions, cults, whatever, they were truly searching for God. And they
I believe some of them, even in their heart, they wanted to know. They wanted to know more, but they got trapped. They got trapped in a lie. And
but God sees that. That He knows their heart. It wasn't to just, they're not trying to defy God deliberately. They believe that what they're doing is accurate.
Yeah.
Yep, they're caught in a lie. Yep. Well, I hope I didn't confuse you worse. Praise God. I had 26 pages of notes. No, probably not that many, but we got through a few of them. Father, we pray that You would give us a greater understanding of Your Word. And Lord, just as importantly, give us a desire to know and understand Your Word. Give us a hunger and thirst for Your truth, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You keep each and every one. Keep us, Lord, from the evil one. Help us to be discerning. Help us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be lifelong students of Your word. We pray it. We pray it, Lord, for our own sake and for the sake of those that You give us the privilege of sharing with, ministering to. Lord, we know there are many trapped in cults that You would like to rescue, Lord, that You desire to rescue. And I pray, Lord, that You could use us. Use us, Lord, to speak truth, we pray. Bless us as we go. Use us for Your glory. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless your week. Go with God.